This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Islam Dump.
Islam is a principle. Islam is a comprehensive system. Islam is a law. Muslims, say La ilaha illallah.
Very beneficial. And we're here with Sheikh Saeed, one of the organizers. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Saeed, salamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just really fast, your views on the conference, how's it gone so far, and what do you hope for the future for this conference?
Before I answer the question, first of all, I'd like to thank you, Jibir Zalbah Khair, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you from driving all the way from Windsor to attend this conference. And I am very excited, I really am, because Alhamdulillah, when you see brothers coming from a different city, from a different region, brothers from Vancouver, brothers from Calgary, from Ottawa, you know,
Chicago,
you know, you name it, they all here, subhanAllah. We have brothers from UK, we have brothers, I just met a brother from Qatar, we have another brother from Saudi, subhanAllah, just for the conference. And that is so beautiful, and this is what the conference is all about. But I thank you very much for coming, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Now, as you know, the purpose of this conference, the theme of the conference is the journey of faith. What it means, when we came up with the name, we want the people to take journey from their point, yani from where they are, and travel and take this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we thought maybe the first thing that we should start with is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if you don't understand the love of Rasulullah, if you don't understand this man, that you took him as a role model, then you can never really continue with your journey. Therefore, it was essential for us to start with the love of Rasulullah. And when we establish that in our hearts, bi-idhnillah, and everybody knows that this is what, who he is and how we should love him, then inshallah, the other steps would be very easy, bi-idhnillah, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah. Really fast, a lot of people seem to misunderstand Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, especially people in the West. I myself coming from a non-Muslim background, many people like myself, they come into Islam and then they hear the non-Muslim side of Prophet Muhammad. And especially today I want to concentrate a bit about the issue of females, the ladies, our sisters. A lot of Westerners, they look at Islam, they look at Prophet Muhammad, they said he was biased against, you know, females. We want to shed some light on how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, looked at women. How did he come to, you know, to reform and improve the situation of women? And what is the status of a woman in Islam?
In Islam.
Yeah, so if you can give us just a little bit of, what was the status, let's start with, what was the status of a woman before Prophet Muhammad came?
Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I want to say something. I can relate to your situation. See, my wife, she's a new Muslim. Alhamdulillah, she'll be very sweet. Alhamdulillah, she's a new Muslim. And her family were very much concerned, like, oh, you're marrying a Muslim, he's going to abuse you, you're going to be his maid, you're going to wash his clothes, you're going to, you know, that's what you're going to do.
That's it.
And then, subhanAllah, you know, bit by bit, they realized, I really care about my wife as my wife. I don't abuse her. I remember when my mother-in-law, she said, Saeed, you should wash your dishes, you know. You know, you should do something at home. As like, and my wife was like, he washes dishes all the time. He helps me around the house. She's like, but he's a Muslim.
Muslims don't wash dishes.
Yeah, Muslims don't wash dishes. Just abuse the women.
Yeah.
So I understand. But my family now, my in-laws, I love them. I respect them. They love me. We have that mutual respect. Because now they understood whatever they used to hear about Islam, we abuse women, we do this, it is not true. It is not true. But a lot of Muslims don't have that experience. They can't say, oh, my son-in-law is a Muslim, or my daughter-in-law is a Muslim. Or sometimes they meet bad Muslims, and because that person is not behaving as a Muslim, they don't differentiate between Islam and a Muslim, and say, well, that person is a Muslim, he's a bad Muslim, but Islam is still the pure religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, before Islam, to answer your question, as Allah stated in the Quran, if a man announced or they tell him or they give him the news that he had a baby girl. He had only one of two choices. Either he will keep her with disgracement. I mean, this is a shame. And he will not even mention her name in the presence of other men. Or he will take her and bury her alive. Alive! You know, so this was the mentality before Islam. This is what they used to do. But when Islam came, if you read the history of Islam, the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when he received Ya Ayyuha al-Muzammil, the surah in the Quran, and he was trembling, was shaking, was running, who did he run to? I mean, did he say, "Where's Hamza? You know, my uncle who can defeat. You know, where's my Umar bin Khattab?" You know, he did not. But he ran to his wife Khadija, and what did he do? He went and he put his head on her thigh. Just like a little baby. And he says, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me, cover me. Because she was the comfort zone for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was the security. She was everything for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not ask for anyone to come and help. He did not ask for the Quraysh's tribe to come and help. But he went to Khadija. And this is his wife. Now Islam, the first person who accepted Islam was Khadija, female. And the first person who died for the sake of this deen was Khadija, was Sumayya, a female. You know, so in Islam, when it comes to women, you know, this is again, when you want to know about women in Islam, don't go and ask CNN to tell you about how we treat our women. Don't go to the White House. Don't go to anyone. Go and ask a Muslim sister. Ask a sister. Not even the men. Don't even come to me. I gave eight weeks long session at one of the Catholic church in Calgary. And one of the session was women in Islam. Mm. And I refused to speak in that session. I said, you want to know women in Islam? I'm not going to talk on behalf of our sisters. I will bring them. And I brought a sister who wears niqab. And I brought a sister who's a new Muslim. Mm. And I brought a sister who wears hijab, but a new Muslim. All of them were there. So I said to them, ask them, do we abuse you? And ask the question. Most of the 70% of new Muslims are women. Now, if this is the case, if we abuse women, why would women run into abuse?
They like to be abused.
Why would they say, oh yeah, please come and beat me up. You know, in the Western society, they're not beating me enough. I need you to, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. So, if you want to ask women, if you want to know how Islam treats women, ask Muslim women. Ask those who left Christianity, who left all other religion, and found comfort and peace in Islam. You know, wallahi, and I'm not adding one word of a lie. Ladies in Maryland, mm-hmm. I'm in the masjid, I'm trying to leave the masjid, and two white European women, mid-40s or, you know, early 40s, they walked to the masjid. And they said, they asked me this question. They looked around, and they're looking as though there's something missing. Mm-hmm. And I said, can I help you? And one of them said, yeah, please, where are all the men? I said, I'm sorry, they just left. I swear by Allah. They said, we're looking for a Muslim husband. They're not even Muslim. They're not even Muslim. So I said, excuse me? Wallah, the other one said, oh, I'm sorry. We know that Muslim husbands, they're decent, they're loyal, they're kind, they don't abuse them. And they are European women who live in a Western society. And they're not even Muslim. We had a school, you can go to that school. This school called Al-Hud School in Beltsville, Maryland. And they are non-Muslim family who take their children, their little girls, to Muslim school. And they said, we feel more safe and secure for our daughters to come to your school than going to other schools. You know, so in Islam, women are respected, are honored. Why? Because in Islam, we believe if we want decent, healthy, awesome society, women have to be in charge. They have taken take charge of all the affairs. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Umar, and the Sahaba, you know, what do they used to teach us? He said, when you go home, behave humble. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, between the hands of your wife, be a child. Yani if your wife tells you, go get this, you should go get it. You know, he said, when you come out, behave like a man. You know, when inside the house, be a simple person. Outside, be a lion, be a man. And that's why one of the Muslims, he came because he had a problem. He's having a problem with his wife. So he came to complain to Umar. You know this story. And he knocked the door, and the wife of Umar, and keep in mind, Umar ibn Khattab, at this moment, he is what we call the first man of the nation. He is the president. He's in charge. No one can talk to him. No one has authority over him. And his wife, she just lost it. Go open the door. What are you waiting for? And Umar, he ran and he opened the door. But the man who came to seek his help, when he realized the situation of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the president, he said, whoa. You know, Umar said, what do you want? He said, it's okay. It's okay.
No more.
He said, no, what do you want? You came to my house. There must be a purpose. He said, no, it's okay. When Umar said, if you don't talk to me, I'll hurt you. You know, now we're men. You know, we're not showing off. You're dealing with men. The attitude changed. Right. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the commanders, all the commanders of the mu'mins, the believers, I came to seek your help. But it seems that you need help. You know, you need help with your wife. You know, Umar said, wait a second. You misunderstood the whole picture. Mm-hmm. Here, they are no women. In the house, they are the one who's doing the work. They're raising children. They're cooking for us. You know, when you need her, she is there for you. You know, if she loses her temper once in a while, shouldn't we be patient with her? Be patient with her? And he said, yes. So in Islam, alhamdulillah, even women doesn't work, have to work. And if she's a billionaire, she doesn't have to spend a penny to support herself or her family. It is a responsibility of us. And from the honoring women is when you're marrying a woman, what do you do as a Muslim man? We have to give her a gift of her choice, what we call a mahr or a dowry. So if I'm proposing to this young lady and she says, my dowry, my gift from you should be a nice Lexus, you know, airplane. You can afford, mashallah.
Like
you never get married. Or she can say, it happened. She can say, I want you to take me to pilgrimage, Hajj. That's it. That's all I want from you. Other sister, she said, I want you to take me to dinner. Others, she said,
teach me
flower.
Quran or something.
Quran,
right.
Teach me Arabic. Yeah. You know, whatever this is her request. Mm. And we, as men, we have to entertain. Mm. Without this, no marriage in Islam.
Mm.
No marriage. Unless we entertain her request. Now, if we abuse women, I would have grabbed her by the hair and said, who are you talking to? Come here. But we don't do this. Because in Islam, that is not how women should be treated. Allah.
Amazing. A very controversial issue, and I think it's something that's changing our society here in the West, is the issue of people and human rights movements calling to equality between men and women. Are women and men equally in Islam? What is equality in Islam? I mean, it's relative to, I guess, societies.
Right. There are certain terms that is being abused.
Mm.
One of them is the word that you just mentioned, equality, or freedom.
Mm.
Freedom of speech. Yes. I do have freedom of speech as long the condition. I'm not hurting someone else.
Right.
You know, if I insult you, if I call you names, I should not call that freedom of speech. If I say something about your religion, if I say something about who you are, this is not freedom of speech. You know, freedom of speech is I will say something, I will speak out of my mind, I will tell you what I feel with respect.
Mm.
Here, equality, okay, men and women are both equal in the sight of Allah. At the time of prayer, at the time of pilgrimage, at the time of fasting, she can read Quran, I can read Quran. She can give a charity, I can give a charity. She can do whatever, I can do the same thing. Everything is the same. The only difference between men and women in Islam is the responsibility. Mm-hmm. Same way that I cannot have a child, I can never say I'm pregnant with a baby. Mm-hmm. I'm a male, I cannot have that. Women can also not claim certain things.
Right.
Their responsibility has been defined in the Quran and the Sunnah, and the responsibility of men have been defined and explained in the Quran and the Sunnah. And each one of them, they are like wings of the society. So if one wing is not doing its job, then the bird cannot fly. You know. But if, as long as we have them together, and each one knows what to do, that is fine. If the bird wants this wing to go this way, the other wing wants to go that way, we're going to have a corrupted society. So there are roles that the people should do, should follow, male and female. And as long as these roles, alhamdulillah, established, there would be no problem. There would be no problem. Equality in the forms of ibadah. A woman, my wife, in a lot of ways, I think she's more righteous than I. She is, so I think she's closer to God than I. You know, I cannot say, oh, no, you're a woman, step, come on, come back. And I'm the man, let me be closer to God. No, this is how I feel. But when it comes to responsibility, she can do better job with my son. She can pick him up, he's crying, you know. But me was like, boy, get up, stop being sissy, stop being soft, get up, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed that gentleness in the hearts of women, not in the men. Yes, I cannot sleep when my child is sick. But at the same time, you know, I won't be like her. She will cry. I cannot cry because I took the kid to, you know, to the clinic.
Right.
You know, my wife, she would not take my daughter to get a shot. Because she will cry with the child. But I was, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. Because I was built different. I was just built differently than her. So yes, we are different that.
We're created different.
But when it comes to the rights, we're all equal. A lot of things that non-Muslims don't know, and they always talk about, is the issue of inheritance.
Right.
Oh, how could a man get twice as much?
Yeah.
But it is not true. Sometimes one woman can get 10 times than what all men are getting. Yeah, and she can get more. It is only certain situations. Not all the situations. There's a situation that she could be equal. There's certain situation, she gets more. There's some situation, she gets less. So it's all about the family situation.
Right. The circumstance.
The circumstance that exists that time, this is what is the situation and the issues. But it's not something that is always happens that way.
Right.
It is not. So we don't treat them different, and they don't treat us differently. We're all on the same level in the sight of Allah. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you stand in the salam, Allah does not look at your color, does not look at your shade, your genders, none of that. He just looks into your heart and your action. And this is what a person would be judged. Nothing. Here in this conference, journey of faith, who is running? Mostly your sisters. Especially
sisters.
And there are two times the double of the brothers, sisters. Everywhere you go, you will see a sister who's running. The person that I take my orders from is a sister. She tells me, go do this interview, I'll do it. If she says, don't do it, I walk away from you. Jibreel, with all respect, this is how the situation is. So, responsibility, alhamdulillah, if the person is capable of doing and running things, alhamdulillah.
Right.
Male or female, gender does not matter. And alhamdulillah, we learn and we saw that under anyone who's watching this, who already educated enough to see or have the courage to go and explore, he will see this.
Right.
He will see that.
MashaAllah. Another very controversial issue in people from the West, some of the new Muslims trying to understand, is the issue of a man being allowed to marry 4 women, a woman not being allowed to marry 4 men. How do we answer that to people? What's the wisdom
Number one, Islam limited number of wives we should have. You know, in Christianity, you know, David alayhi salam, how many women? Over 900 women. Daud, I'm sorry, in Salman.
Salman.
Over 900. Daud, over 400. Abraham alayhi, Ibrahim alayhi salam, had 2 wives, you know. So this existed all along.
So polygamy was part of
it. It was part of all other religions.
Right.
Nowadays people are like, oh my God, you know, how could you do this? But if you're Christian, this is your religion. It's a part of your religion.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to change the words of God or the laws of God, that is your call.
Right.
But us, we will follow this. At the same time, there are very strict rules concerning this. Just because you saw someone and you like that person doesn't mean you can go say, okay, and I want you to be my wife, my second wife. No. But there are responsibilities. That and adala. There's an adala. If you can't be just between the two, then you have to do it. If you can't do it, then do not do it. Do not. And there's a lot of situation. You know, I was watching the debate between Jimmy Swagger and Ahmed Didan. Now, what do you do? Keep in mind, half of my family are non-Muslims.
Right.
Another half are Muslims. Mm. So I know how non-Muslims live, and I know how Muslims live. All the guys on the other side, they don't mind going to a club and, you know, hook up with this young lady and have one night stand.
It's normal.
They don't normal.
Yeah.
There are so many different incidents from the other side, from the non-Muslim side, that, you know, or this one is having an affair with that person, or this one is cheating her, his wife, or this one, you know, have 3-4 girlfriends,
right.
You know, all this. But when we say, let us follow the guidance of Allah, it becomes a crime.
When you want to commit.
Well, when you commit. But a one night stand,
it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
No responsibility, it's okay. You change them as you change your shoes,
it's
or
okay.
Your, it's okay. But commitment, take being a man, take,
serious.
Be serious, no.
Wrong.
And that is very, very strange. And the Prophet said there would be a time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ma'roof, that which is good would be seen as evil. And that which is evil would be seen as good. Now, if I go and say, well, you know, man, I have this girl here, I have that girl there, I have this, you know, people say, wow, go.
You're the man.
You're the man.
Yeah.
But if I say, you know, I'm doing this because this, it was a, what's wrong with you? So, see, things are backwards. You
they
know,
flipped,
in, they flipped, and this is the problem. Now, as you see, we have, you know, 2/3 in the audience here are girls, and 1/3 are men. So, if we say one every man marries one wife, what are you going to do with the lot? One, you know, one the other third.
Mm.
So, as the Sheikh, what do you call it, Ahmed Didat said, well, you have a few options. He said, one, tell those girl sisters that you have no right at all. You cannot be loved by a husband. You can never be a mother. You can never be married or be taken by anyone. So you have no right. You're here by mistake. You should not exist. You know, you have no right to live. That's one way. The other way, he said, let her be public property. Any man who comes, do what you have to do and leave. Do what you have to do and leave. Enjoy yourself and leave her behind. That's one other option. And the third option, let her live with decency. Let her live as a loved wife. My mother gave her the right to be a mother, which is a dream of every single woman. Everyone wants to be a mother, almost, unless she's sick or something like this. You know. And let her be a normal human being. Let her feel that she's a member of the society. But for us to use them and drop them, this is not right. This is not Islam. And now, when they did these studies, all around the world, for every child, for every male, every baby boy, there are 16 girls born at the same time. So you have 15 extra. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? You know, make them public property? Public washrooms, as they said? You know, just drop and leave? You can't. That's not right for them. That's not right to them. It's not.
So, our sisters are part of the society. They're on the forefront many times. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, from what we see today and in our society, we feel, compared to what happened before our pious predecessors, we find that a lot of the sisters are not stepping up. They're happy by, you know, not seeking knowledge. They're just by being wives. What was the status of some of the women who came as scholars? Who were these women? What did they do for Islam and for society? And where should they be? Where should our sisters today be?
Right.
Should they study the Quran? Should they study Islam? Or should they just wash dishes and be just a mother and that's it?
I have to say, sisters at this time, sisters nowadays, alhamdulillah, they are 10 steps ahead of the brothers.
Mm.
they're doing mashallah. In every halaqah, in my masjid where I teach, I will always say, sorry, we cannot have any more sisters. And the sisters still in line up. But I can always say, well, we still have few, you know, brothers, you know, available. You know, so the sisters are always, always, always there, better than the brothers. Mm. MashaAllah, at this time. Nowadays, as you can see, most of the people who are running this show are sisters. Alhamdulillah. We have 380 volunteers. Most of them are sisters. You may find 80 brothers volunteers and you have 300 sisters. They're doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. But what I think is, all these sisters, most of them are either, they just got married or not married. And as soon as they get married, a lot of them don't continue doing the same thing. So when I analyze this, I think the problem is not them, the problem is us, we're marrying them. So the brothers who are marrying them say, oh no, I wanted to stay home. Don't volunteer. You know, I want you to... So they're the one who is really hindering the sisters to continue to excel. And that is the problem. So I think we need to change the mentality of the young people. Mm-hmm. Brothers, I'm really talking about. And let them understand, alhamdulillah, she was active, she was eager to learn. Let her continue with that. Don't put her on too many responsibility on her. You know, and let her do the job that she was doing. However, the sisters, they need at this nowadays. You have more brothers who would excel more in the higher education, in some studies, than the sisters. Mm. There's only a small number of sisters who can come on to you and say, I have Islamic degree from such and such university. Right. But you will find large number of brothers doing
this. We can see today, not our speakers are
right,
sisters.
Because we don't have that. And I think this is because brothers are not doing their job, and the sisters may not feel, well, when I do my PhD in Islam, what am I going to do?
What am I going to get with
you? Know?
Yeah.
And that has to change. Mm. Because there are a lot of questions that I feel shy to answer them.
Right.
And it's been asked by sisters.
Right.
And the only reason that this sister came forward and asked me is because there's no one else. If there was an alima, there's a sister, mashallah, in the city,
called Dr. Hashimi.
And she is doing a great job.
Al-Huda
Institute. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help her, increase her, and give her more taqwa, because she's doing a wonderful job. No one else is doing in the city a similar job. So we need sisters to continue. If after you get married, her husband, Idris, jazakallah khair, he's supporting her, he's running everything, but we need someone like him. Husbands to be like him and say, okay, my wife, alhamdulillah, you and I, let us go together. When I got married, the condition was, hey, don't hinder me, don't stop me. You know, I'm going full force. I want to continue. If you can't catch up with me, stay right now where you are. I don't want you to be, because as this is a problem. Sisters are not going all the way. They're not being like the time of Sahaba, like Aisha radiallahu anha, who became was the greatest scholar. When all the other Sahaba have problem, cannot solve issue, who do they used to go to? Aisha. In a lot of issues, they would say, Aisha, if she says something, it's done. If Aisha is not available, Hafsa. If Hafsa, Umma Salam. You know, they were alimat. And then the tabi'iyat, Amr bin Abdul Rahman. You have Hafsa. You have so many tabi'iyat who were there, to learn. I'm sorry, to teach people. And they were teaching men too. They didn't say only women, but they were teaching men. And the history of Islam, all the people, all the men, all the women, or the female scholars, they were always perfect 100% scholars. Scholars. So this is how Muslim behave, how Muslim women and Muslim scholars, and I would encourage my younger sisters, inshallah, to continue learning this deen. Because we need them to be scholars. We need them to be... Like there's a young lady also in Yemen, Umm Abdullah. Mm. She was the daughter of Sheikh Muqbil Wadi'i, rahimahullah. She authored books. Sisters, they travel from here and they go in Yemen and they study, you know, in Damaj. And she doesn't do anything. She has family, by the way. She has a husband, she has children. But every day she's in the masjid and she's teaching the students. And she is a great scholar. So we need more of that sisters. Then other than sisters which we stay here for a conference or two, just sitting in little halaqah, you know, memorize a few Jews. But we need sisters to go all the way.
Women.
That is a very long list.
Okay.
Very long list.
If I tell you Ibn Athir, if I tell you Ibn Taymiyyah, if I tell you Ibn Qayyim, if I tell you Ibn Bukhari, if I tell you Ibn Kathir, if I cannot give you the list of the scholars. Some of them had 50 female, 20 female scholars, 19 female scholars, 90 female scholars.
They learned from them.
They learned from them. Mm. They would go and sit and learn from the female scholar, and they themselves became biggest scholars of the Ummah. Read the biography of Ibn Taymiyyah and see his teachers were female. And you read, and he is, from the time of Sahaba till today, there was no one in the history of Islam like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. In his knowledge, and his teachers were women. And subhanAllah, women, they have a way of teaching you. Men with, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, but women would make you love this deen. And I'm not talking about sisters, you know, coming with the makeup and all this, right, and sit and teach me. No. Like those alimat, they should be. Like those people, they should be. So, and then the names are very familiar, as I mentioned, Bukhari, Ibn Kathir, as we know. If you read their biography, they will tell you they had female. Al-Dhahabi. Right. We have Abu Usama al-Dhahabi. You know, here is one of the speakers. And he took after that man's name, Imam al-Dhahabi, who was one of the students, again, is Ibn Taymiyyah. His teachers were female. Some of them were female. So there are female scholars who did great, wonderful job for the Ummah, but we don't know them. We really don't know them. Why? Because maybe we never took the time to go and say, well, I want to see who are these ulama. And no one would ever say again, oh, we had a bad female scholar. But they could say there was a weak male scholar in the history of Islam. And not female at all.
So women have a very big contribution to Islam.
Definitely.
To society at large. I think it was Malcolm X who said, if you educate one man, you just educate a single man. If you educate a woman,
you educate
a
nation. The nation. Absolutely.
SubhanAllah. One very important aspect of our deen and getting our understanding is the sunnah of the Prophet. And many hadith came through chains. And we know that, can you explain a bit? Many women were part of these chains, and many of the knowledge that came through, many hadith came from these women.
See, number one, again, since this the conference is about love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to understand who is this man sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew what the society needs. He said, "This certain days, certain time, that I am not seeing any men. I'm going to teach women. Only women, exclusively women." You know, and he taught them, and then he married a number of women because he was busy with running the state, the issue of the first of the state. He was busy with fighting the Quraysh was attacking.
Right.
He was busy with, you know, calling people. So he realized, I cannot teach all these women every day. But if I teach my wives every night, I go to them, I will teach them. Then the wife will also teach other women. And this is how ilm, knowledge would spread. And this is what he did. He will be teaching them, and the Sahabiyat will come and will learn from the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if you see the wives of Rasulullah was not a man who was, you know, crazy about women. All of them were either single mothers or older than him, like Sauda. Way older than him. And he married her right after the death of Khadija. You know, because she will teach, she can say, we will also support on so many reasons. So this is important. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them and made the ummah balance. And all the ahadith, especially ahadith that is related to what we call the household, the marital relationship. You know, what is permissible for a man to do, how a man should treat his wife. You know, how, like when he comes to the Masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's dealing with the affairs of the ummah. But when he goes home, what is he doing? We can't go to his house 24/7. And even if we go to his house, he will be treating us like guests. He's our host. So what would he do? We will go to the wives of Rasulullah. What would Rasulullah do as soon as he walks into the house? What did Aisha say? Oh, he used to do miswak. You know, because Islam isn't like, oh, no romance. No. You know, a man, he wants to smell good, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because when he is close to his wife, he doesn't want the wife to say, oh, mashallah, you eat garlic. No. He is ready. He's ready for his wife. And then, even the time when some of his wives got jealous of one another, and then they said, you know, so-and-so, she gives Rasulullah honey, and he loves honey, and we can't give him that. because we can't, we don't have it. Mm-hmm. So what should we do? We should say every time you eat honey, you smell. Mm-hmm. You know. So he comes home and she was Aisha, for example. She would say, "Ya Rasulullah, what did you eat honey?" He would say, "Yeah, why?" She said, "Well, you smell a little bit funny." You know, and he was like, "Okay." And he goes to Hafsa.
Same thing.
And did you eat honey? Why? Well, you smell a little bit funny. Mm-hmm. Then he said, "That's it. No more honey."
No honey.
And Allah said, "Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, lima tuharrimu ma halallahu laka?" Yani Allah made it halal. What would you do? Tabtaghi mardata azwaj. You want to please your wives? Mm-hmm. Yani he loved honey. Mm-hmm. But because he felt that his two or these two wives felt a little bit uncomfortable, he's like, "It's haram for me to eat." Mm. Haram. For to please his wife. Just to please his wife. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when that happened, then we know what he used to do. He used to tayyib. When he comes home, what does he do? Aisha said, he would be cutting the meat with me. He would be sweeping the floor, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would be cooking, he would be fixing his clothes, he would be washing his clothes. You know, now we know him as a husband. Mm-hmm. And now you, when you get married, or you're married already, you know, you would know what to do at home.
Right.
Because Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have an excellent example of Rasulullah. Now, you know how to behave when you're at home. That means you have to help around the house, you have to clean, you have to change children, you have to, you know, yeah, you gotta change the
you
diaper,
change
that
the
one,
what?
Change the diapers,
I know
you know, that, yeah. And then, you don't cut that, don't edit that one, don't
I change the diapers.
Yeah. No, so you would do everything, Rasulullah, why? Because Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ الْأُسْوَةِ. You have a perfect, excellent example in Rasulullah. So if you're a father, then he was a father. If you're a husband, he was a husband. If you're a brother, he was a brother. If you're a son, then he was a son. You know, so he played every role. If you're in charge of the community, well, he was in charge of the community. So you just go that chapter. How does he used to behave? So you know everything about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You know, perfect manners. You know, everything about him was perfect, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You can leave us, inshallah, with one ayat from the Quran about men and women, something that's pertaining to that.
There is an ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتِينَ. And Allah goes all the way, and He mentioned the Muslim women and men, and the believing women and men, and He mentioned all the characteristics of all the, you know, of a mu'min should have, male and female, they're all equal. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال, أعد لهم, Allah has prepared for them أجر عظيم, a great, wonderful reward. For both. He did not say, "Oh, we will give men more." No, he said, for both of them, both genders, they will receive equal. And subhanAllah, as we all know, women, when they, you know, feel something in their heart, they carry that. They carry on. They don't just leave it. Men, they may be a little bit procrastinated, you know, a little bit lazy, but women, they go full force. And I remember Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al-Fawzan, you know, one of the when I was in the university, and one of the students said, "Yeah, Sheikh, but women are a lot emotional, you know, they get emotional a lot." And he said, "We need that. We need that." He said, "Imagine your wife is as dry as you are. What would happen? There's no life in that. Yeah, there's no spice in this life." You know, so we need them to be emotional. We need to be emotional. We need to be, you know, that how they are is perfect. Yani I would not change a bit about them. You know, women as you are, alhamdulillah, Allah created you like this. We love you as you are. And if there's any imperfection, it's because you and I, we all are humans, and Allah did not make us perfect. Did not.
Saeed, inshallah, all our listeners and watchers, please. You know, look into this issue. Try, as Sheikh Khayy said, non-Muslims especially, if you have any questions about it, don't go and ask, you know, non-Muslims. Don't go and ask the people who don't understand. Go and ask a sister, a Muslim sister. You see them on the street.
Yeah.
Is it okay for someone to approach on the street in public, someone, "Hey,
oh,
are
yes.
you being mistreated?"
They did a lot.
They do that.
To my
right?
wife.
It happens.
Oh, yeah.
So, and, you know, ask them. Ask them if they're being mistreated. Ask them if they're being oppressed. And really, a proper sister who has a proper Muslim husband, a proper, we're making here, as I said, the distinction between Muslim and an Islam.
Right.
A proper Muslim husband, she will reply always that she's not being mistreated, she's not being oppressed. Actually, she is a princess. She is.
And she's been honored.
Honored. JazakAllah, you're watching Islam Dumb. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. JazakAllah.
Spend a penny to support herself or her family. It is a responsibility of us. And from the honoring women is when you're marrying a woman, what do you do as a Muslim man? We have to give her a gift of her choice, what we call a mahr or a dowry. So if I'm proposing to this young lady and she says, my dowry, my gift from you should be a nice Lexus, you know, airplane. You can afford, mashallah, and you never get married. Or she can say, I want you to take me to pilgrimage, Hajj.
Mm.
That's it. That's all I want from you. Other sister, she said, I want you to take me to dinner. Others, she said,
teach me
flower.
Quran or something.
Quran,
right.
Teach me Arabic.
Yeah.
You know, whatever she, this is her request.
Mm.
And we, as men, we have to entertain.
Mm.
Without this, no marriage in Islam.
Mm.
No marriage. Unless we entertain her request. Now, if we abuse women, I would have grabbed her by the hair and said, who are you talking to? Come here. But we don't do this. Because in Islam, that is not how women should be treated. Allah.
Amazing. A very controversial issue, and I think it's something that's changing our society here in the West, is the issue of people and human rights movements calling to equality between men and women. Are women and men equally in Islam? And what is equality in Islam? I mean, it's relative to, I guess, societies.
Right. There are certain terms that is being abused.
Mm.
One of them is the word that you just mentioned, equality, or freedom.
Mm.
Freedom of speech. Yes. I do have freedom of speech as long the condition. I'm not hurting someone else.
Right.
You know, if I insult you, if I call you names, I should not call that freedom of speech. If I say something about your religion, if I say something about who you are, this is not freedom of speech. You know, freedom of speech is I will say something, I will speak out of my mind, I will tell you what I feel with respect.
Mm.
Here, equality, okay, men and women are both equal in the sight of Allah. At the time of prayer, at the time of pilgrimage, at the time of fasting, she can read Quran, I can read Quran. She can give a charity, I can give a charity. She can do whatever, I can do the same thing. Everything is the same. The only difference between men and women in Islam is the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Same way that I cannot have a child, I can never say I'm pregnant with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a male, I cannot have that. Women can also not claim certain things. Their responsibility has been defined in the Quran and the Sunnah, and the responsibility of men have been defined and explained in the Quran and the Sunnah. And each one of them, they are like wings of the society. So if one wing is not doing its job, then the bird cannot fly. You know. But if, as long as we have them together, each one knows what to do, that is fine. If the bird wants this wing to go this way, the other wings to go that way, we're going to have a corrupted society. So there are roles that people should follow, male and female. And as long as these roles, alhamdulillah, established, there will be no problem. There will be no problem. Equality in the forms of ibadah. A woman, my wife, in a lot of ways, I think she's more righteous than I. She is, so I think she's closer to God than I. You know, I cannot say, oh, no, you're a woman, step, come on, come back. And I'm the man, let me be closer to God. No, this is how I feel. But when it comes to responsibility, she can do a better job with my son.
Mm.
She can pick him up, he's crying, you know. But me was like, boy, get up, stop being sissy, stop being soft, get up, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed that gentleness in the hearts of women, not in the men.
Right.
Yes, I cannot sleep when my child is sick. But at the same time, you know, I won't be like her. She will cry. I cannot cry because I took the kid to, you know, to the clinic.
Right.
You know, my wife, she would not take my daughter to get a shot.
Mm.
Because she will cry with the child. But I was, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. Because I was built different. I was just built differently than her. So yes, we are different in that. We created different. But when it comes to the rights, we're all equal. A lot of things that non-Muslims don't know, and they always talk about, is the issue of inheritance.
Right.
Oh, how could a man get twice as much? But it is not true. Sometimes one woman can get 10 times than what all men are getting. Yeah, and she can get more. It is only certain situation, not all the situations. There's a situation that she could be equal. Mm-hmm. There's certain situation she gets more. Mm-hmm. There's some situation she gets less. So it's all about the family situation.
Right. The circumstance.
The circumstance that exists that time. This is what is the situation and the issue is. But it's not something that is always happens that way.
Right.
It is not. So we don't treat them different and they don't treat us differently. We're all on the same level in the sight of Allah. And that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. When you stand in the salam, Allah does not look at your color, does not look at your shape, your genders, none of that. He just looks into your heart and your actions. And this is what a person would be judged. Nothing. Here in this conference, the journey of faith, who is running? Mostly your sisters. Especially
sisters.
And there are two times the double of the brothers, sisters. Everywhere you go, you will see a sister who is running. The person that I take my orders from is a sister. She tells me, go do this interview, I'll do it. If she says, don't do it, I'll walk away from you. Mm-hmm. Jibreel, with all respect, this is how the situation is. So, responsibility, alhamdulillah, if the person is capable of doing and running things, alhamdulillah.
Right.
Male or female, gender does not matter. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, we learn and we saw that under anyone who's watching this, who already educated enough to see or have the courage to go and explore, he will see this.
Right.
He will see that.
Inshallah. Another very controversial issue in people from the West, some of the new Muslims trying to understand, is the issue of a man being allowed to marry 4 women, a woman not being allowed to marry 4 men. How do we answer that to people? What's the wisdom or
Number one, Islam limited number of wives we should have. Mm-hmm. You know, in Christianity, David alayhi salam, how many women? Over 900 women. Yeah. Dawood, I'm sorry, in Salman.
Salman.
Over 900. Dawood, over 400. Abraham alayhi, Ibrahim alayhi salam, had 2 wives, you know. So this existed all along.
So polygamy was part of...
It was part of all other religions.
Right.
Nowadays people are like, oh my God, you know, how could you do this? But if you're Christian, this is your religion, it's a part
same,
of your religion.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to change the words of God or the laws of God, that is your call.
Right.
But us, we will follow this. At the same time, there are very strict rules concerning this. Just because you saw someone and you like that person doesn't mean you can go and say, okay, and I want you to be my wife, my second wife. No. But there are responsibilities. That and adala. There's an adala. If you can't be just between the two, then you have to do it. If you can't do it, then do not do it. Do not. And there's a lot of situation. You know, I was watching the debate between Jimmy Swagger and Ahmed Dida. Now, what do you do? Keep in mind, half of my family are non-Muslims.
Right.
Another half is Muslims. Mm. So I know how non-Muslims live, and I know how Muslims live. All the guys on the other side, they don't mind going to a club and, you know, hook up with this young lady and have one night stand.
It's normal.
They don't normal.
Yeah.
There are so many different instances from the other side, from the non-Muslim side, that... You know, or this one is having an affair with that person, or this one is cheating his wife, or this one, you know, have 3-4 girlfriends,
right.
You know, all this. But when we say, let us follow the guidance of Allah, it becomes a crime.
When you want to commit.
But when you commit. But a one night stand,
it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
No responsibility,
it's okay.
It's okay. You change them as you change your shoes,
it's
or
okay.
Your, it's okay. But commitment, take being a man, take,
serious.
Be serious, no.
Wrong.
And that is very, very strange. And the Prophet said there would be a time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ma'roof, that which is good, would be seen as evil. And that which is evil, would be seen as good. Now, if I go and I say, well, you know, man, I have this girl here, I have that girl there, I have this, you know, people say, wow, go.
You're the man.
But if I say, you know, I'm doing this because this, they will say, wow, what is this?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? So, see, things are backwards, you know, they flip, and this is the problem. Now, as you see, we have, you know, two-thirds in the audience here are girls, and one-third men. So if we say one every man marries one wife, what are you going to do with the law, you know, one the other third? Mm. So as the Sheikh, Ahmed Didat said, well, you have a few options. Mm. He said, one, tell those girl sisters that you have no right at all. You cannot be loved by a husband. You can never be a mother. You can never be married or be taken by anyone. So you have no right. You're here by mistake. You should not exist. You know, you have no right to live. That's one way. The other way, he said, let her be public property. Any man who comes, do what you have to do and leave. Do what you have to do and leave. Enjoy yourself and leave her behind. That's one other option. And the third option, let her live with decency. Let her live as a loved wife. My mother gave her the right to be a mother, which is a dream of every single woman. Everyone wants to be a mother, almost, unless she's sick or something like this. You know, and let her be a normal human being. Let her feel that she's a member of the society. But for us to use them and drop them, this is not right. This is not Islam. And now, when they did these studies, all around the world, for every child, for every male, every baby boy, there are 16 girls born at the same time. So you have 15 extra. What are you going to do with them? You know, make them public property? Public washrooms, as they say? You know, just drop and leave? You can't. That's not right for them. That's not right to them. It's not.
Our sisters are part of the society. They're on the forefront many times. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, from what we see today and in our society, we feel, compared to what happened before our pious predecessors, we find that a lot of the sisters are not stepping up. They're happy by, you know, not seeking knowledge, they're just by being wives. What was the status of some of the women who came as scholars? Who were these women? What did they do for Islam and for society? And where should they be? Where should our sisters today be? Should they study the Quran? Should they study Islam? Or should they just wash dishes and be just a mother and that's it?
I have to say, sisters at this time, sisters nowadays, alhamdulillah, they are 10 steps ahead of the brothers. Mm. They're doing, mashallah, in every halaqa, in my masjid where I teach, I will always say, sorry, we cannot have any more sisters. And the sisters still in lineup. But I can always say, well, we still have few, you know, brothers, you know, available. You know. So the sisters are always, they're better than the brothers. Mm. MashaAllah, at this time. Nowadays, as you can see, most of the people who are running this show are sisters. Alhamdulillah. We have 380 volunteers. Most of them are sisters. You may find 80 brothers volunteers and you have 300 sisters. They're doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. But what I think is, all these sisters, most of them are either they just got married or not married. And as soon as they get married, a lot of them don't continue doing the same thing. So when I analyze this, I think the problem is not them, the problem is us, we're marrying them. So the brothers who are marrying them say, oh no, I want you to stay home. Don't volunteer. You know, I want you to... So they the one who is really hindering the sisters to continue to excel. And that is the problem. So I think we need to change the mentality of the young people. Mm-hmm. Brothers, I'm talking about. And let them understand, alhamdulillah, she was active, she was eager to learn. Let her continue with that. Mm-hmm. Don't put her on too many responsibility on her. You know, and let her do the job that she was doing. However, the sisters, they need, at this nowadays, you have more brothers who would excel more in the higher education, in Islamic studies, than the sisters. Mm-hmm. There's only a small number of sisters who will do, who can come unto you and say, I have Islamic degree from such and such university. Right. But you will find large number of brothers doing
this. We can see today, our sisters.
Because we don't have that. And I think this is because brothers are not doing their job, and the sisters may not feel, well, when I do my PhD in Islam, what am I going to do?
What am I going to get with
you? And that has to change. Because there are a lot of questions that I feel shy to answer them.
Right.
And it's been asked by sisters.
Right.
And the only reason that this sister came forward and asked me is because there's no one else. If there was an alima, there's a sister, mashallah, in the city called Dr. Hashimi. Yeah, and she is doing a great job.
Al-Huda
Institute. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help her and increase her and give her more taqwa, because she's doing a wonderful job. No one else is doing in the city a similar job. So we need sisters to continue. If after you get married, her husband, Idris, jazakallah khair, he's supporting her, he's running everything, but we need someone like him. Husbands to be like him and say, okay, my wife, alhamdulillah, you and I, let us go together. When I got married, the condition was, hey, don't hinder me, don't stop me. You know, I'm going full force. I want to continue. If you can't catch up with me, stay right now where you are. I don't want you to be, because as this is a problem. Sisters are not going all the way. They're not being like the time of Sahaba, like Aisha radiallahu anha, who became was the greatest scholar. When all the other Sahaba have problem, cannot solve issue, who do they used to go to? Aisha. In a lot of issues, they would say, Aisha, if she says something, it's done. If Aisha is not available, Hafsa. If Hafsa, Ummah Salam. You know, they were alimat. And then the tabi'iyat, Amr bint Abdul Rahman. You have Hafsa. You have so many tabi'iyat who were there, to learn. I'm sorry, to teach people. And they were teaching men too. They didn't say only women, but they were teaching men. And the history of Islam, all the people, all the men, all the women, or the female scholars, they were always perfect 100% scholars. Scholars. So this is how Muslims behave, how Muslim women and Muslim scholars, and I would encourage my younger sisters, inshallah, to continue learning this deen, because we need them to be scholars. We need them to be... Like there's a young lady also in Yemen, Umma Abdullah. She was the daughter of Sheikh Muqbil Wadi'i, rahimahullah. She authored books. Sisters, they travel from here and they go in Yemen and they study, you know, in Damaj. And she doesn't do anything. She has family, by the way. She has a husband, she has children. But every day she's in the masjid and she's teaching the students. And she is a great scholar. So we need more of that, sisters. Other than sisters which would stay here for a conference or two, just sitting in little halaqa, you know, memorize a few Jews. But we need sisters to go all the way.
Women's
That is a very long list.
Okay.
Very long list. If I tell you Ibn Athir, if I tell you Ibn Taymiyyah, if I tell you Ibn Qayyim, if I tell you Bukhari, if I tell you Ibn Kathir, I cannot give you the list of the scholars. Some of them had 50 female, 20 female scholars, 19 female scholars, 9 female scholars.
They learned from them.
They learned from them. They would go and sit and learn from the female scholar, and they themselves became biggest scholars of the Ummah. Read the biography of Ibn Taymiyyah and see his teachers were female. And you read, and he is, from the time of Sahaba till today, there was no one in the history of Islam like Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. In his knowledge, and his teachers were women. And subhanAllah, women, they have a way of teaching you. Men who is, 1, 2, 3, 4, but women will make you love this deen. And I'm not talking about sisters, coming with the makeup and all this and sit and teach me. No. Like those alimat, they should be. Like those people, they should be. So, and then the names that are very familiar, as I mentioned, Bukhari, Ibn Kathir, as we know, if you read their biography, they will tell you they had female al-Dhahabi. We have Abu Usama al-Dhahabi. You know, here is one of the speakers, and he took after that man's name, Imam al-Dhahabi, who was one of the students, again, is Ibn Taymiyyah. His teachers were female. Some of them were female. So there are female scholars who did great, wonderful job for the Ummah, but we don't know them. We really don't know them. Why? Because maybe we never took the time to go and say, well, I want to see who are these ulama. And no one would ever say again, oh, we had a bad female scholar. But they could say there was a weak male, female, male scholar in the history of Islam, and not female at all.
So women have a very big contribution to Islam.
Definitely.
To society at large. I think it was Malcolm X who said, if you educate one man, you just educate a single man. If you educate a woman,
you educate
a
nation.
The nation.
Absolutely.
One very important aspect of our deen and getting our understanding is the sunnah of the Prophet. And many hadith came through chains, and we know that. Can you explain a bit? Many women were part of these chains, and many of the knowledge that came through, many hadith came from these women.
See, number one, again, since this the conference is about love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to understand who is this man sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew what the society need. He said, "This certain days, certain time, that I am not seeing any men. I'm going to teach women, only women, exclusively women." You know, and he taught them, and then he married a number of women because he was busy with running the state, the issue of the first of the state. He was busy with fighting the Quraysh was attacking.
Right.
He was busy with, you know, calling people. So he realized, I cannot teach all these women every day. But if I teach my wives every night, I go to them, I will teach them. Then the wife will also teach other women. And this is how the ilm, knowledge will spread. And this is what he did. He will be teaching them, and the Sahabiyat will come and will learn from the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if you see the wives of Rasulullah, Rasulullah was not a man who was, you know, crazy about women. All of them were either single mothers or older than him, like Sodom. Way older than him. And he married her right after the death of Khadijah. You know, because she will teach, she can say, we will also support her on so many reasons. So this is important. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them and made the ummah balance. And all the ahadith, especially ahadith that is related to what we call the household, the marital relationship. You know, what is permissible for a man to do, how a man should treat his wife. You know, how, like when he comes to the Masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's dealing with the first of the ummah. But when he goes home, what is he doing? We can't go to his house 24/7.
Right.
And even if we go to his house, he will be treating us like guests. He's our host. So what would he do? We will go to the wives of Rasulullah. What would Rasulullah do as soon as he walks into the house? What did Aisha say? Oh, he used to do miswak. You know, because Islam isn't like, oh, no romance. No. You know, a man, he wants to smell good, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when he is close to his wife, he doesn't want the wife to say, oh, mashallah, you eat garlic. No. He's ready. He's ready for his wife. And then, even the time when some of his wives got jealous of one another, and then they said, you know, so-and-so, she gives Rasulullah honey, and he loves honey, and we can't give him that, because we don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So what should we do? We should say, every time you eat honey, you smell.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So he comes home, and she was, Aisha, for example, she would say, Ya Rasulullah, what did you eat? Did you eat honey? He would say, yeah, why? She said, well, you smell a little bit funny. You know, and he was like, okay. And he goes to Hafsa.
Same thing.
And, did you eat honey? Why? Well, you smell a little funny. Mm-hmm. Then he said, that's it. No more honey.
No honey.
And Allah said, Ya ayyuha an-nabi, lima tuharrima ahalla Allahu laka. Yani Allah made it halal. What would you do? Tabtaghi mardata azwaj. You want to please your wives?
Mm-hmm.
Yani he loved honey.
Mm-hmm.
But because he felt that these two wives felt a little bit uncomfortable, he's like, it's haram for me to eat. Haram. For to please his wife. Just to please his wife. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when that happened, then we know what he used to do. He used to, but when he comes home, what does he do? Aisha said, he would be cutting the meat with me. He would be sweeping the floor. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would be cooking. He would be fixing his clothes. He would be washing his clothes. You know, now we know him as a husband. And now you, when you get married, or you married already, you know, you will know what to do at home.
Right.
Because Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have an excellent example of Rasulullah. Now, you know how to behave when you're at home. That means you have to help around the house, you have to clean, you have to change children, you have to, you know, yeah, you gotta change the diaper, change the diapers.
I know
you know that.
That,
yeah. And then, you don't cut that.
So
you would do everything. Rasulullah, why? Because Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ الْأُسْوَةِ. You have a perfect, excellent example in Rasulullah. So if you are a father, then he was a father. If you are a husband, he was a husband. If you are a brother, he was a brother. If you are a son, then he was a son. You know, so he played every role. If you're in charge of the community, well, he was in charge of the community. So you just go that chapter. How does he used to behave? So you know everything about him, sallallahu. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You know, perfect manners. You know, everything about him was perfect, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
If you can leave us, inshallah, with one ayat from the Quran about men and women, something that's pertaining to that.
There is an ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab. إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانت. And Allah goes all the way, and He mentioned the Muslim women and men, and the believing women and men, and He mentioned all the characteristics of all the, you know, of a mu'min should have, male and female, they are all equal. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أعد لهم, Allah has prepared for them أجر عظيم, a great, wonderful reward for both. He did not say, oh, we will give men more. No, he said, for both of them, both genders, they will receive equal. And subhanAllah, as we all know, women, when they, you know, feel something in their heart, they carry that. They carry on. They don't just leave it. Men, they may be a little bit procrastinated, a little bit lazy, but women, they go full force. And I remember Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al-Fawzan, you know, when I was in the university, and one of these students said, yeah, Sheikh, but women are a lot emotional, you know, they get emotional a lot. And he said, we need that. We need that. He said, imagine your wife is as dry as you are. What would happen? There's no life in that. Yeah, there's no spice in this life. You know? So we need them to be emotional. We need to be emotional. We need to be, you know, that how they are is perfect. Yeah, I would not change a bit about them. You know, women, as you are, alhamdulillah, Allah created like this, we live as you are, and if there's any imperfection, it's because you and I, we all humans, and Allah did not make us perfect.
Saeed, inshallah, all our listeners and watchers, please, you know, look into this issue. Try, as Sheikh Saeed said, non-Muslims especially, if you have any questions about it, don't go and ask, you know, non-Muslims, don't go and ask the people who don't understand. Go and ask a sister, a Muslim sister. You see them on the street. Yeah. Is it okay for someone to approach on the street in public? Someone, hey, are you being mistreated?
They did a lot.
They do
to
that,
my
right?
Wife.
So, and you know, ask them. Ask them if they're being mistreated. Ask them if they're being oppressed. And really, a proper sister who has a proper Muslim husband, a proper. We're making here, Sheikh Saeed said, the distinction between Muslim and an Islam.
Right.
A proper Muslim husband, she will reply always that she's not being mistreated, she's not being oppressed. Actually, she is a princess.
And she's been honored.
JazakAllah. You're watching Islam Dumb. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. JazakAllah.